Well, let's take your Bibles and go to Genesis chapter 1. That's easy to find. This mid-December, we're going to look at walking by the Spirit, or walk by the Spirit. And Genesis 1:27 is where we'll start, because in Genesis 1:27, we got the first record of somebody receiving Spirit and the purpose for receiving Spirit. In Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. According to John 4:24, God is Spirit, so God created Spirit, his image, in Adam and Eve. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So they both received the Spirit. So they got one thing the animals didn't get. Animals got body, animals got soul, like that with movement and all of that, as it's laid out here. But he gave them Spirit, and there is a difference between soul and spirit, even though most of the world doesn't realize that. But there's a great difference between soul and spirit, and that's God's image. So he gave them something above the animals, and then he said, talk to me, communicate. I can talk back to you via the Spirit. Now, he gave it to Adam first, because Adam was first made, formed, and created. Look at 2:7. And the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a nephesh chi, a living soul. So, basically, he became alive when he took his first breath. He was formed of the dust of the ground, and some dust is larger than other people's dust, you know, but that's really what mankind has continued to be. And then he put spirit in him for communication purposes. Then we go to 2:17. And he gives him, he takes him, puts him in the garden, says, talk to me. I got you a job. 2:17. Everything is yours. Enjoy, take care of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that one over there, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And he said, quit calling me Shirley. He said, no, my name's Adam. So, what we see, though, is, this is Adam's first day on the job. Has anybody had a first day on the job and you know everything about the job, right? No. You need a mentor. You need a helper. You need somebody to go tell you, you know, when can I take a bathroom break? When can I get vacation pay? Or, you know, how late do I have to stay here? You know, do I have to stare at this computer screen all the time? You know, different things like that. So day one on the job, you've been made, formed, and created. You're put in the garden. You have to keep it. Stay away from that tree. Everything else is good. So how is Adam going to figure out how to live life? Can he Google it? Nope. Not available. So he has to talk to God. God gave him spirit, so God will coach him through. One of the first things he does is, let's name the animals. And so he had the animals come to the outside of the garden, and they got a great conversation going. Boy, that is a weird looking. Look at that. What is that thing? A neck? Look at that long neck. What do you want to call this guy? How about giraffe? Ah, good name for it. And that's how God taught Adam words, because Adam has to communicate with Eve soon. So this is how language was originally developed. But the point was is that how was Adam going to know how to do anything? God was going to teach him. God was going to communicate with him. God was going to show him. What did God want in return? Fellowship. He wanted to be praised. He wanted to be loved. He wanted to be thanked. When Adam, you know, when he planted stuff in the garden and it grew properly and it was gorgeous and, you know, the radishes were this big and things like that. You know, just, have you ever seen radishes or carrots and stuff? Ira Hearn used to show up when he would travel and he would bring out of his garden, literally. They're like bowling balls, stuff that we buy in stores that are about this big. They were huge because he did the soil right. He prepped it, did all the proper, and it had great nutrient value and all of that again. So basically, Adam was thankful. It was God going, you see all these trees here? You can't eat out of any of them. You can only eat out of one tree. No, it was the other way around. Everything's available except one. Enjoy. What do you want? Would you like Brussels sprouts today? We'll show you how to grow them. You know, whatever it was, he couldn't order a pizza, though. Wasn't available yet. So. But that was the point. How did Adam learn how to do anything? He had a great relationship with his father. He had spirit. He could talk to them. I.e., today, go to Acts chapter 1. We have been given this opportunity. Adam, of course, we know sin, lost spirit. That's what died. And now, through the accomplishments of Jesus Christ, He's telling his apostles back in Acts 1 what's going to happen, and it's now available for anyone who believes to receive Spirit, so then they too can communicate with God. They can walk in the Spirit. They can have a great relationship with their Father. Acts 1:4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them, this is Jesus, don't leave Jerusalem. I don't care if your lease is out or not. Don't leave Jerusalem. Wait until you receive the promise of the Father, which you've heard of me. Because remember John? And he baptized with water? Forget about that. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. A greater baptism, a baptism of fire, a baptism of the Spirit was coming that would replace water baptism. Verse 8, then when you receive power, that baptism of the Holy Spirit was power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, so the gift is called Holy Spirit, then you're going to go tell others about it and you're going to operate that Spirit. You're going to be a witness unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth, which is where we're at today, which is wonderful. It's now available. Spirit was given to everybody, but it takes a little bit of time to understand how to walk by the Spirit. Go to Luke 4. You know, it really helps when you get a new toy to read the instruction manuals. You know, you get a new computer program, and you probably never have done this where somebody said, hey, if you do this, 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 it'll do that for you. You go, oh, I didn't know it could do that. Well, did you ever read the instruction manual? Of course not. Well, that, unfortunately, when it comes to spiritual matters and how to walk by the Spirit, how to communicate with God, too many people haven't read the instruction manual. But it takes time to understand how to walk in the Spirit. Luke 4:1, Jesus being full of the Holy Spirit, he was baptized by John, received Holy Spirit, that marked him out as the Son of God. He returned from the Jordan, from receiving the Spirit, and the first thing God did for him and was led by the Spirit. Most of the Greek texts read in the wilderness. Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Not just led him into the wilderness and turned him loose for 40 days. No, he learned how to walk by the Spirit in the wilderness. It took Jesus 40 days to learn how to operate this. So there's help for us. I mean, you know, it's not something that, you know, because of an old man nature, we're used to being Lord of our lives. But now, God in Christ in us. Christ accomplished it. He's Lord. We now, though, have a mentor who's around all the time that can help us when we need help. If we stop trying to do everything ourselves and talk to our mentor, talk to our God. And you know what? He'll talk back. He'll help us. He'll say, don't go there. You don't want that one. Ah, door open over here. Proceed with caution. You know, God, and there are times where it's like, nothing I can do for you today. Come back tomorrow. Enjoy today. It'll be tomorrow before you can do with it, so quit worrying about it. But that's part of old man nature. We like to worry. We, you know, stop it. So Jesus had to be led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days. He learned how to operate the Spirit from God. So it takes some time. It takes some effort. Look at John 2. The Gospel of John, chapter 2. But you can't divorce yourself from the written word of God and just go, oh, I'll walk by the Spirit. I'm going to sit here and do nothing until God tells me to do something. You know, he did give you a brain, and we can use it for common sense so that you might want to put some clothes on. You want to make some coffee. You might want to, you know, go do certain things that, you know, are normal things that would need to be done. John 2:22. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Jesus showed them from the scriptures that the Messiah was going to have to die and be raised from the dead. And so they believed the scripture, and then they believed that Jesus had taught them what he had taught them from the scripture. So believing what the word says is the first way of walking by the Spirit, because we've got revelation here. So we need to understand the word, because there's a lot of great things. If it says, I would that you all spake with tongues, then we avoid it. No, we learn how to do it, and we do it, because that's something that will, sometimes, well, we'll see it here, is the Spirit, when it's talking about walking by the Spirit, it's walking by the totality of the new nature, which it's a whole new nature. We have an old man nature, now we have a new man nature, a spiritual man and woman, and we are to walk by the totality of it, which includes a greater understanding of God's word, which includes specific revelation. There's a lot more to it. You're sensitive to the Spirit of God and the things of God. So first thing is they believed. Verse 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. We talked about in Acts 1, they were going to receive power and they were going to be witnesses. But people believed because they saw the signs, miracles, and wonders that Jesus did. So seeing the power of God in operation woke some people up, but then they had to have the right word as to what to believe. In verse 24, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. How would Jesus know what was in men? Revelation. It's walking by the Spirit. God showing him, this person here will stab you in the back. This person over here is going to listen. This person over here is going to try and trick you. You know, in other words, he understood what mankind was like, and he didn't get sidetracked by the things of the world. And that's what he was trying to do. So basically, he walked by the Spirit. He knew because God told him. There are lots of situations we find ourselves in. To navigate it properly, we need to walk by the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 2. In light of a class that's coming up next weekend, we read 2 Corinthians 2:11. And in this verse, it instructs us on something. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So how do we know what his devices are? We are holding a book that will teach us that. Do we want Satan to get an advantage? No. You know, in our daily life, do we go, okay, these 3 hours will be Satan's. He can take advantage of me, all he wants. No. So how do we stop that from happening? Because he's the God of this age. We have to be aware of him, but we're not to be too conscious of him. There's a devil behind every rock, behind every balloon. No, you don't live that way. You live life, you live in harmony with God, you keep moving forward, God's helping us, we stay in touch, walking by the Spirit, walking with God, and the adversary goes, I don't like you to have that kind of relationship with him. I'm going to do what I can to stop it. That's his job. And he does it very, very well, unfortunately. So we don't want to be ignorant of how he operates. We do not want him to take advantage of us. And to be able to do that, we need to understand the written word and then do what God wants us to do. And sometimes it may seem a little strange. Let's look at one verse in 1 Kings. 1 Kings 18. This is Elijah. And Elijah is going against 450 prophets of Baal. And it's a mano-a-mano fight. And their God never showed up. But he takes a bullock and he fills it with water and gets everything against having a fire because the people were confused. They'd been so led astray for so long, like today, those who want to be godly, many of them, don't understand who the true God really is because they have not been taught correctly. And the people in that day and time, many of them had gotten so much wrong information, they weren't sure who the true God was. Is Baal or this guy, God that Elijah is talking about? But in 1836, right, he had thrown water, cut the bullock up, threw water on it 3 different times, there's water all over the place, and they'd already made a pact, whoever God starts the fire is the real God. Verse 36, though, he makes one statement here that's worth reading. That's why we're here reading it. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near. And he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. So he was identifying which God he was serving. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Israel. Let it be known this day that you are the God of Israel. You are the only true God of Israel. You are the true God of the universe. We don't need to fall for the God of this age. And that's what he's laying out for him. I am a believer who believes in the same God that Abraham, Isaac, and Israel believed in. And I am his servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. And there's the key. Why did he do all this stuff for the last 3.5 years? Because God said so. He was walking by the Spirit. He was practicing the presence of God. he did what God wanted him to do. And it was rather strange. Tell the king it's not going to rain until he says so. Go hang out at a brook and get drink water and have ravens bring you food. Go live with a widow woman, which culturally was way wrong. You would never do that. And this guy just took care of him one step of the way because he always did what God wanted him to do. I have done all these things at thy word. And that's the relationship. God could have had the entire body of Christ in the first century, but instead he's chosen for 2,000 years to spread it out. It's our time to worship him. It's our time to praise him. It's our time to have a fellowship with him. He was bored, so he put an earth together and put Adam and Eve on it. He wanted fellowship. He wanted love. He wanted praise. He wanted to go, look what I can do for you. What do you need? I've got all these beautiful fruits and vegetables, and you can't eat meat yet. But all these things are all yours. I give it to you. Enjoy. The birds, they'll listen to you. The fish, they'll listen to you. The animals will listen to you. Don't listen to that serpent over there, though. So the spiritual war was there. It's still on now, and whose words we're going to believe. Look at Romans 8. Let's make sure we get our terminology down here. So we go to Romans 8, 4. God has given us spirit. It's available, and the spirit is there to utilize, to help us, and then to be able to speak by the spirit of God, which is speaking in tongues, to worship God spiritually. Romans 8, 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, this terminology of walk was a terminology most people would understand before cars were, because now it's, we ride with the Spirit. It's a terminology of how you live your life. Walk not after the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. So we lock in to the Spirit of God, to our Father who is Spirit, and what we need to do, and we don't make provisions for the flesh. We don't live for the world. We live for God. We happen to live in the world, and God wants us to enjoy the world. Look at verse 14. 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God," was Jesus Christ led by the Spirit of God? He had to learn. That's what we are to be today. They are the sons of God. You want to operate as a son of God? Walk by the Spirit of God, being led by the Spirit of God, allowing you and God to be a team. Look at chapter 6 of Romans. 6:4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Our old man nature was crucified with Christ. He was risen from the dead and given a new nature. We can walk in that same newness of life when we walk by the Spirit, when we walk according to God's word, written word, according to God telling us and helping us in specific situations. Look at 1 Corinthians 7. Now, we're just going to see different records where this phrase is walking by the Spirit or walking in love or things like that are. And we'll see some great truths there, but I did them systematically so we can just go through them much easier. Except those of you who are on your phones, you have to punch it in anyway. 1 Corinthians 7:17, we read, "But as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk." So God has called you to a specific part in the body of Christ. Walk in that role in the body and do it to the best of your ability. It changes over time. But you've been called for a specific purpose. So walk in that purpose. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5. 7. Second Corinthians 5, 7 puts it very succinctly. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Too many people, if I can see it, hear it, smell it, taste it, and touch it, I can believe it. Well, you know what? There's a whole bunch of paranormal shows on television. They see or smell or hear these things, but they don't understand it. So we walk by believing. By believing what? The Word of God, specific revelation from God. Not always by the five senses. It kind of got Eve in trouble. So we walk by believing. We walk by the Spirit of God. Because do you see God? No. So we walk. Look at chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10. Because our competition is spiritual in nature. And the adversary is continuing to do what he can to get us to be consumed with this world and the things of the old man nature. 2 Corinthians 10:2. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. The people were some of the people were saying, oh, he's just walking by the flesh. He's making things up. He's not being very godly about these different situations, and he's rebuking them. He says, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, because we're flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, but powerful through God. Through God is what makes them powerful. That's what, like with Tom prayed earlier, that we lock into the might of God and the knowledge of God and the willingness of God to help in situations. To the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, or demolishing reasonings, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. God says this, and we very easily could say, no, God doesn't really mean this. It should be this, and we just put up our human reasonings as to why it has to be this way by walking by sight, rather than walking by the greater promises of God. Because we can't find historical Jesus if you look watch certain shows. He never existed. However, when you speak in tongues, you know he existed. And you know then the word works. All right. Casting down imaginations, demolishing your reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This is God. This is the knowledge of God. This is the knowledge of the world. This will get you in trouble. This is sight. This is stuff that if you're only confident in that, you're never going to live to the greatest and the fullest of what's available through Christ. So, then we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So the Greek text reads, we bring into captivity every kind of thinking. And I like that. Every kind of thinking needs to be lined up with Christ, with what the Word of God says. That's how we walk. Because what you're thinking is eventually going to be what you're going to act on, what you're going to speak about, what's going to consume you, and all of that. So you better make sure you're thinking what is proper. Galatians 5. After Corinthians comes Galatians. So Galatians 5:16. Again, another succinct verse. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The old man nature is full of lust. It's a me-first attitude. We should walk in the Spirit, walk in the totality of the new nature from the written word and specific revelation, from producing fruit in our lives. All of that's part of walking in the Spirit. And then you won't have just the manifestation of humanness. Because if you read further down, look at verse 19. Here are the works of the flesh. These are the things that you will manifest if you don't walk by the Spirit. There'll be adultery, fornication, uncleanness, Leviticus, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, reverence, things like that. So what do you want to manifest? That or walking by the Spirit? And the things that it says starting in 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I would rather hang out with somebody who manifests those categories, the latter categories. I would rather be a person that manifests those categories than, you know, the other ones. So those are the two fruit that you're got the potential to produce in your life. Look at Ephesians 2. Go over a couple pages. Galatians, Ephesians 2. Because in Ephesians 2:2, it tells us that's how we all used to live before we received the Spirit. 2:2 says, where in time past, you walked, all of you, all of us, walked according to the rut of this world, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, because he was the god of this age. We walked according to what he wanted us to walk. But now we don't have to walk that way. But this, again, the Spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among also whom we all had our behavior in times past. lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath. That is the old man nature. That's walking by the flesh. That's warring by the flesh. That's living by the flesh. That's a me first attitude, even as the rest of the world that hasn't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and at least got the Spirit, so they have a chance to walk by the Spirit. Look at 4:1, Ephesians 4:1. 4:1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. We have all been called to be part of the body of Christ, and we all have something to offer. So, we do something about it, right? We walk worthy of our vocation. We walk worthy of our calling. You know, if you're on a basketball team and when it's your number is called and you get out there and you don't walk worthy of being on that team or playing well, how long do you stay on the court? That's what the coaches said. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Oh, you got a small team, right? Everybody else has fouled out. But are you a joy? Are you a benefit? Are you a help? All right. Look at verse 17. 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity or the emptiness of their mind, which we just saw in Galatians of how they walk. They have their understanding darkened. Do you like it when everybody knows what's going on except you?
No.
No. Well, we don't want to have our understanding darkened. We do not want to be alienated from the life of God because of ignorance. You know, and they're only ignorant because of the blindness of their heart. They don't want to accept. They can't understand spiritual matters. That's not us. We can, and we can benefit. Look at 5:2. Ephesians 5:2 tells us a remarkable statement. Walk in love. That's novel. The whole world talks about that, but the whole world doesn't have a clue. Walk in the love of God and the renewed mind and manifestation. We walk as Christ also have loved us. So we read how Christ loved the church. He gave himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God. He walked by the Spirit to the point of having to die for us. And now we are sweet smelling. We smell really good now. And then it talks about things that you don't do. Look at verse 8. 5:8 says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We're not part of the children of darkness. We're not part of the world. We walk as children of light, as enlightened ones, and we have a mentor, a guide who's willing to help us through whatever needs to happen. And verse 15 tells us then, walk circumspectly, walk balanced, not too much to this side, not too much to that side, but walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And we all know fools. We don't walk that way. We walk circumspectly, balanced, rightly, keeping our eyes focused on the fact that Christ is coming back. Look at Philippians 3, next book. It's interesting that he has to say this in every single book because people needed to hear it in every one of these cities. We've done Romans, we've done Corinthians, we've done Galatians, we've done Ephesians, we've done Philippians, we're going to do Thessalonians, we're going to do a lot in Colossians, and then we're going to do Thessalonians, every one of them. God has Paul write about walking by the Spirit, about walking in light, walking in love, walking circumspectly, all this stuff, because people need to know it and be reminded of it. Philippians 3:17, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk, so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. So we walk, and there are people who stand on the word that we can follow, but we got to make sure we're not following somebody who's an enemy of the cross of Christ, somebody who's not walking circumspectly, not walking in love, walking more by the five senses than walking in the Spirit to glorify the true God. Look at Colossians 1. Next page. Colossians 1:10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We are again to walk worthy of the Lord. God has called us to fill a part in the body of Christ. Are we filling that part? Are we walking worthy of what the Lord has entrusted us with? Are we being fruitful? Look at 2:6. Colossians 2:6 tells us, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." There's walking by the Spirit. There's walking in love. You've received Holy Spirit. You received God in Christ in you. Walk. Keep moving. Look at 3:7. "In the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them." Verse 6 tells us that we're not supposed to walk this way. Starting in 5, again, works of the flesh. Mortify the works of the flesh. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked like that. At one time, we walked in the lust of the flesh because that's all we knew. Now, we don't have to anymore, which is a wonderful thing. Look at 4:5. Colossians 4:5. "Let your speech..." Walk in wisdom. That's even better. Verse 5 says, "Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time." Like playing video games all night. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Where are we going to get the wisdom that this talks about? From the Word. From specifically God telling us and helping us. Redeeming the time. So, because of all of that, we talk about things that are good. "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt." You don't make things up. When you speak, it's as if it's coming from the oracle of God. "Your speech with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." How are you going to know that? Because you spent time in the Word and you're in harmony with God. God is going to give you the right. How else would Jesus have known when the woman caught in adultery? You know what to say. I mean, the law says stone her. What do you say?
Judge.
Well, that's the point. Well, I got to wait till God tells me what I'm supposed to say. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. "See, the Spirit of God was given to us to communicate with him, and him to communicate with you. And when we stay sensitive to it, we do know how to answer everybody. We knew how to go through situations. We just have to be patient sometimes." 1 Thessalonians 2:12. "That you would walk worthy again of God who has called you into his kingdom and glory." God has called you. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 4:1 says, "Furthermore then, we beseech you, brother, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more." It's good. You walked good. This time of the year, you have all the comic book characters, all the kids trying to tell their parents and Santa they've been good all year. So, no, it's not good just to walk, for a couple weeks before Christmas so you can get good gifts or good Christmas wages. But, because you're getting paid for being a good kid. So, really, the Christmas wages are not Christmas gifts. But see, we're to walk in pleasing to God year round. We don't take a season or semester off. We don't only do it because Santa and his elves are watching us at all times. That's how he knows. We've got these little elves up on the shelf now, and they keep an eye on us all the time. They report back to Santa. I read an article about that. Somebody said that that's what's happening with those. They're these Christmas elves, and you teach the kid that that's how Santa knows. And it's a thing leading towards Big Brother. The government's always watching you. It's a setup towards that. But it's a very, yeah, it really was. It was one of those things where, you may think this is pretty funny, but, this is how the article started. But it is. It's programming people that, how does Santa know if you're good or bad? Got to have eyes. And now we got an elf up here. He's keeping an eye on you. So, yep. All right. So we are in 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to go to 2 Thessalonians. Did we just do 2:12? Which one did we just do?
4:1.
We did 4:1. All right. Well, let's stay there and do 4:12. 4:12 says, "That you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing." We walk honestly. We walk for God, and then God says, you'll have lack of nothing. It'll always be there, what you need. A lot of times it's that wisdom of God is what we need. 2 Thessalonians now 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. So, if you start hanging out with certain friends, and they're wonderful, and you enjoy being with them, and they start walking disorderly, we're supposed to walk disorderly with them, right, Lizzie?
No,
this tells us not to do that. It gives us great instruction to withdraw ourselves from those who are walking disorderly, and not after how your parents taught you by the Word of God. So, we just have to be sharp, and just because there are people that start off who are wonderful, and they'll start pulling us away. There's a great thing in there in the Old Testament is you don't hang out with people that want you to go worship other gods. And that's really, you want a lifestyle of other gods? Hey, that's what some people want you to do. No, we withdraw ourselves. We go, thank you, but I'm busy tomorrow. 1 John 2. We'll skip Hebrews and James and Peter. And we'll jump to 1 John 2:6. We're running out of books of the Bible, so you know we're getting clear near the end. 1 John 2:6. He that says he abides in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. You say you're a walking, living, breathing Christian. Are you really walking like he walked? If you're talking it, are you living it? Look at 1:6 and 7. 1:6 and 7 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, liar, and do not the truth. But if we do walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So, are we just talking the game? We live in the game. We walking by sight, we walking by flesh, or we walking by the Spirit? All right, we go to 3 John. 3 John 3. John 3 says, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Isn't that a great perspective? The greatest things you can hear is that your children, and in this case, God is talking about his children, that they're walking in truth. It's a tremendous thing. We should want to do that. And we should do that because, not because Santa's elves are watching, but because God is with us at all times, and God is endeavoring to give us knowledge, wisdom, and other great things to help us in this day and time and hour. And with that, we close in 2 Corinthians 9. So, I have no greater truth than to know that my children walk in truth. And that is so true. And so, in light of being able to walk by the Spirit, because Jesus Christ accomplished the reality of us having the Spirit again, that we don't have to walk by the flesh, that we can walk by the written word, that we can walk by the totality of the new nature, that we have the Spirit, 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Father, thank you for this unspeakable gift, that we can communicate with you and worship you and be blessed with your presence at all times, knowing that you're with us and you're taking care of us, and you've got it thought through, that we can align ourselves with you and your wisdom and knowledge and input, and have the boldness to carry it out. We're grateful for your love in all situations, and that you are sending your son back. But until then, we can continue to praise you and glorify you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.